This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
She literally was like, you were just violated. Because he didn't grab my boobs, he pushed me up against the wall.
That there are several opportunities in my life where I might have been like overlooked or like added pressure had been put onto me because I was not showing up in a certain way with my vulnerability, whether that was like weaponizing my tears or like being extremely dysregulated.
Yeah. It's me, you know, avoiding responsibilities, not seeing my friends. I'm an extroverted person, not seeing the people that I care about. And I won't even notice it.
We know when she becomes a hermit crab.
One of my friends, Loki, pulled up on me one time and was I've been calling you, and I was like, you have?
Welcome back. Let's start us off with a bit of mindfulness today. We will be doing a loving kindness body scan, so I will walk you all through it and you can listen along. Our bodies do so much for us. No matter the imperfections, aches, pains, our bodies have carried us through every moment along the way. Our bodies are our home, a safe space to return to when distress may arise. Take a moment to scan our body and explore where our experiences may lie, offering some love and kindness along the way. Get into a comfortable mindfulness position. You can close your eyes or take a low gaze. Take a moment to make any final adjustments before settling into some stillness. Begin by noticing your feet planted on the ground. Notice any sensations that might arise from your feet connecting to the surface underneath you. And begin to think about what your feet have carried you through so far. Offer your feet some gratitude for helping you make this long journey through life. Begin to point and flex your toes. Noticing any sensations in your ankles, shins. Take a moment to notice any openness or tightness that might be present from your life experiences. Next, move your attention up to your thighs and hips. Be sure that you're sitting in a position that supports these areas. If you find discomfort here, you can gently readjust. Offer these areas love and grace as we tend to hold some of our most painful experiences in the hip region. Continue to breathe deeply in through your nose and out through your mouth as you shift your focus to your lower back. Notice any sensations in your spine. Pay close attention to how your stomach may rise and fall, each inhale and exhale. Thank your back for carrying the weight of your body through this life's journey. Offer some love and kindness to your stomach. As you inhale, move your attention to your chest. As you exhale, notice how your chest may fall. Offering some gratitude to your chest for protecting your most vital and sacred organ, your heart. Take a moment to observe any sensations you may feel in the heart center. Continue to breathe deeply as you focus your attention on your upper back and shoulders. Without judgment, noticing any sensations, any tension, tightness, openness. If needed, you can offer yourself a bit of support through touch, a gentle massage of your shoulders to release any tension stored in these areas from your life's journey. Move your way up your neck, jawline. Notice any openness or tension in these areas. Gently release and relax these areas as you continue to breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Release each muscle in your face, mouth, eyes, cheeks, needed, you can offer yourself some support through gentle massage of each of these areas. Finally, bringing your attention to the top of your head, your crown. Notice any sensations, thoughts, or urges as you continue breathing. Offer some gratitude for the way your crown protects your brain. Take a moment to fill your mind with thoughts of love and kindness for yourself and for your imperfections, your flaws, and your entire body, the way it has carried you through this life's journey. As this practice comes to an end, take 3 deep breaths in through your nose and out through your mouth. And when you're ready, you can gently blink your eyes open. All right, ladies. What did you notice about yourself during the mindfulness exercise?
Tension.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hungry. Tension.
Yep. Yeah. Your stomach was telling you some things.
Yeah. Grumble. Yeah. For me, my shoulders, my back. I think when you're walking through the back and, you know, noticing, like, I've just been having some, like, my back's been hurting more than normal.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of spent some time with that. And my ankle, because, you know, I was recently in a car accident.
Yeah.
So trying to give some loving kindness around that because it's still working. It's allowing me to wear these boots for a minute.
Right.
So
for
that
now.
So that thought came to mind. I just really noticed some tension.
Yeah.
And just the uncomfortability, and I'm like, dang girl, there was a judgment. I'm like, dang girl, like, you maybe need to do some stretches. You know, I'm not into yoga chairs.
Move your body around a little bit.
You know, all of that. So that was my experience.
What did it feel like for you all to offer loving kindness despite having some tension or like some unpleasant sensations come up?
I would say I didn't have too much of a challenge with that. I noticed myself having more of a challenge with like staying present with your directive and not getting like pulled away from like sounds that I was like hearing and things of that nature. But once I was able to bring myself back, I was able to be loving and kind toward myself and, you know, acknowledge that I'm hungry, and there will be a swift and prompt solution to that.
You'll get food at some point, yes. Right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't struggle giving that loving kindness either. Nice. I noticed there was a demand that came with the loving kindness, like, ankle, just go back to the way you were prior to that accident. Mm-hmm. That type of thing, like, please, I beg. And then I had that thought, and then I'm like, okay. That was it. But yeah.
There.
And I noticed the hunger with the stomach. When it came to the stomach, I was like, yeah, I can eat.
It's letting you know some stuff.
And I told you, I smelled food earlier, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's still with you.
Yes.
All right. It is. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Now
we're
guiding us through that.
All right. We are back,
guys.
We are back. Okay. We definitely ended with the V words.
Yes.
So,
and to be clear, vulnerability.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
you said big.
It can be a lot of different things,
and
right?
It might be something else. Yeah. So,
vulnerability, yes.
Vulnerability, guys.
Yes. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So what do we end with last episode?
Well, we end with like how we view vulnerability as weakness. Like,
yeah.
All of us felt like, you know, that word was not something that was embraced in all of our cultures and upbringing, and also connected to like how it has changed and even the difficulty, I think, like in utilizing the word now and like you said, being in this space. You said last episode was like very vulnerable for you because you are private.
Yeah.
And you know,
I like my business to be my business.
You like our business to be our business. Yeah. So that's definitely where we left off, kind of talking about. And it also, you know, coming back this week, I was also thinking, I don't know why, I have brothers, right? And the men in my family.
Girl.
Even as, like, my husband as well. So when we left off, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, the struggle, even when I even bring it up, you know, even my husband would be talking about something, and I'd be like, baby, it seems like you're vulnerable in this moment. He's like, I'm not vulnerable. I just, like, you know, yeah, he bothers me. And I'm like, you're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, in that moment, you're tired, you're trying to do all this. And, you know, even the word itself, I think, for men kind of, like, brings some, like, uncomfortability.
That's interesting, right? Because I think that, like, in my family in particular, because the males are, like, so far and few in between, I think that they are given a little bit more grace with being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's not necessarily the word that's used, but I think that there is like an expectation that perhaps they might need more.
Yeah.
From like my mom or like from like other women in the family to like stay on course.
Yeah.
And I view that more as like, you know, there's a little bit more flexibility with them coming to like, with being vulnerable, with them not necessarily, there's no expectation of them like.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long distance relationship, becoming a first step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Knowing it all or having it all together because there's like the bar is set lower, unfortunately. Yeah.
I guess it makes me think about like, it seems like from what you're saying and also from what you're saying, you guys might be looking at vulnerability from a slightly different perspective, right? Like if you're saying like the act of, or I guess the experience of feeling uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. The act of, you know, experiencing things not going well, weakness,
yeah. right?
Versus you saying that, like, there's a little bit more leeway around not necessarily reaching potential.
Yeah, like inadequacy.
Right, inadequacy. Yeah. And I think that, you know, we want to look at it slightly differently because I do think that there is an association that immediately comes up when people even bring up your vulnerability. Mm-hmm. There's almost this kind of like shame yeah. or guilt about, oh gosh, you can see it.
Yeah.
Like you like, wait, like I thought I was doing a really great job.
Right, like, well, I was masking like, that.
So
yeah.
it's like almost like a bit of like deer caught in the headlights type mm-hmm. of thing. And yeah. the immediate wanting to kind of like seek cover, the immediate yeah. wanting to minimize and like dismiss mm-hmm. that because that mm-hmm. is not an experience that was met with compassion, you know, kindness, empathy, and space
yeah.
for those
for
things.
Sure.
And so I think that sure. talks to that. But then when you're also talking about how certain vulnerabilities in certain communities are fostered
yeah.
and mm-hmm. other ones are not fostered
shamed
as
in
much,
some ways.
Right?
Yeah.
I think about like how vulnerabilities in my household were treated a little bit differently,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. In terms of how women or the girls in the family were expected to succeed, and it was supposed to look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And even when there was maybe like some challenges or barriers, mm-hmm. right? Maybe some inattention problems,
yeah.
maybe needing some
yeah.
extra stuff, that not necessarily being fostered or acceptable as it was if maybe my brother or maybe like the men
yeah.
families yep. are. So it's like that vulnerability is mm-hmm. like, it's not okay
right.
for you
to make mistakes or you not
yeah.
to,
that way.
Yeah.
Or if it is, it's like you don't have that quick of that much of a leeway
yeah.
versus physical vulnerability.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't mm-hmm. go anywhere by yourself. You can't wear this. You can't do that. Like, so that being fostered, but mm-hmm. men not being protected in that same way.
In that same
so what
yeah.
are your guys' thoughts about that?
That's interesting mm-hmm. that you brought it up in that way. I think that maybe like perhaps what we're talking about is really two sides of the same coin, right?
Yep.
Like I do think about like one thing that that stood out to me that you talked about was like the physical vulnerabilities. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of like learned physical vulnerabilities, particularly yep. in the space that I grew up in around like exposure. Like yep. you should not be dressed a certain way. You shouldn't be in certain places or like around certain things mm-hmm. that could maybe be dangerous, harmful, or like put attention onto you in certain ways.
You know, it's interesting, I think, where you kind of like for men differentiating it like that as it relates to also academia, like the expectation
yeah.
of it. Because I could see my brother, like, you know, he's the last one and kind of like being the only. Even though I have like two brothers, but we were raised like in the, one
different
of them,
spaces,
yeah, different yeah. spaces. So for my younger brother, I think the expectation for him was definitely set lower compared to my sister and I.
Mm-hmm.
And also there was like this comparative thing that was also
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
That kind of, for me with my sister, because my sister, you know, she's the first, you know, that first child syndrome, like they put it on them.
Yeah.
No offense to you, they put it on them, but like, you know, I'm the middle, you know, I cause ruckus. And at the same time, it was more like, well, what can't you be like your sister type? So it was like a competition.
Yeah.
In a way, I felt like, you know, looking back at it, I rebel against it.
Mm-hmm.
And I down myself, I think, more than realize it, just to like piss her off.
Sure.
In a way. And at the same time, I also realized the emotional like vulnerability that kind of brought for me.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you tend to act a certain way till you yourself start believing it.
Yeah. But I think that's the stark difference between avoidance and attention seeking behavior, right?
Yeah.
You rebelled in that way so that mm-hmm. you could avoid that experience and that expectation completely.
Yeah.
Versus other folks who would see that as a challenge to, oh, now I can get attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a way for me to kind of
yeah,
like
get what
yeah,
I need.
Exist and belong in a certain way. Because it's
yeah.
funny that like my brother didn't get directly the why can't you be like your sister. I'm sure there was like indirect
feelings. Yeah, yeah.
Things
yeah.
about, but my sisters, got that whole thing. Even me, it's like your younger siblings are looking at you. So yeah. make sure you set a good example.
Yeah.
You know, and so like the vulnerabilities around like how you dress, how you act, you know, in mm-hmm. school, mm-hmm. how you show up in, you know, in certain spaces, how you even speak, you know, around certain things.
Yeah.
I think is something that is very different. And I can only imagine what if we were to speak to, you know, the other gender.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What they would talk about in reference to kind of vulnerabilities, yeah. right? You know, mm-hmm. so that's what mm-hmm. I think about. It's like, well, how do you guys, A, know that you're vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
one, right? And mm-hmm. which of those signs are, how do I say, attended to?
Received, mm-hmm. yeah.
Right, to mm-hmm. people like, in terms of like, they pay attention to those things, they mm-hmm. cater to those things, and what are some of the other things that aren't necessarily as openly acknowledged or
right,
accepted.
Right, right. I think I'm really glad that you brought that up too, because as we were talking about this, I kind of had the thought to myself, like, I wonder if my brother perceives it in that way. Like, does he, or, you know, if those things like made him feel bad. I think our mm-hmm. age gap is so large that yeah. it almost felt like more like a, not necessarily like a sibling relationship, but yes. more like this is another like grown adult person in yes. my life. Yeah, yes. yeah. So I wonder if like he feels some type of way. I'm like, I might need to have that conversation with him. But you also said something else that I felt can probably be tied in with like race, culture, mm-hmm. and gender mm-hmm. around like the way your vulnerabilities are perceived by other people
yes.
versus like how you might be feeling internally. Mm-hmm. I know that definitely showed up for me more in the professional space.
Yeah.
Like yeah. being taken more. Seriously, yeah. being understood around like burnout or yeah. like not being okay.
Yeah.
Needing to ask for help or receive help and things like that. I think mm-hmm. that there are several opportunities in my life where I might have been like overlooked
yeah.
or like added pressure had been put onto me because mm-hmm. I was not showing up in a certain way with my vulnerability, whether that was like weaponizing my tears or mm-hmm. like being extremely dysregulated.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough for me to just say like I'm feeling
I'm not okay.
burnt out, and even kind of thinking about the level of vulnerability it took for me to even verbalize that to yeah. not be received or taken seriously is like yeah. insane.
Like I feel like the overt signs of vulnerability, like I didn't show that. I wasn't yeah. someone who cried. I wasn't someone
yeah.
who showed like you wouldn't be able to see the struggle, which mm-hmm. comes with that assimilating that my parents often talked about in terms of like you don't show people mm-hmm. that your things at home are not right or mm-hmm. that you're not in the right space, right? And so oftentimes people just thinking that you can do more because they're not seeing
yeah.
that. Or like for
you
me,
they can't physically understand
so
the intensity.
Like you were trained to hide vulnerability.
Right,
yeah.
It's trained in me. It's something that I use to protect myself because yeah. it was kind of like, well, why are you crying? Why mm-hmm. are you acting like this? You can't be upset about this mm-hmm. thing. You can't mm-hmm. do this thing. You know, so it's like, I think when you look at like what is perceived, what is interpreted, what is accepted and acknowledged, there's so many factors that go into it. You are a, you know, shorter
mm-hmm.
black woman. I am a taller black woman. You can't see it because, you know, we stand down.
Yeah.
You know, but in terms of like what people think would be vulnerable for me or what they expect me to do in order for me to be like, how do I say, meet the requirements mm-hmm. of certain levels of care and attention. I have to be crying and sobbing.
Yeah.
I have to literally breaking down and over the this, that, but
that's not who you are.
Like,
same.
That's, yeah. not, like, same. That's not how I show up. And so having to perform in that way in order to get certain
needs. Yeah. Yeah.
How about the attention that's also given to our counterparts when they do have they're very blatant with like their vulnerability, right?
Yeah.
They're not as overt as you are, but they're very like transparent where, you know, I've had therapists who just cry flat out, you know, and doing supervision in meetings or in spaces. And yet, even though I'm experiencing the same type of
you know, things that they experience dealing with trauma or intensive clients.
Yeah.
But for me, the expectation of, you know, Jay Strong, she got it, but the way they're tended to,
yeah,
and the invisibility that used to occur, yeah, with me not being tended to, and that's where I was trained to also tend to my needs,
yeah,
as well as, you know, explain and bring to light the other part that says, well, no, I don't show up like that, like you said,
and I still need the support. Yeah.
So for me, the way when I'm vulnerable, I'm silent, I'm observant,
yeah,
and you know, I'm not speaking to it. Even when I even step away from, like,
all the things,
yeah, population, I'm still like innerly like in it. And then that's to speak regarding the opposite sex also, because you know they're not, yeah, there in the sense of, you know, when you think about, I feel like now we, at least for me, when I have black men who come see me, you know, I said, like, you know, doing like the George Floyd thing and like doing the COVID, like, you know, I applaud a lot of like men who come and seek therapy as it relates to like in encouraging their vulnerability,
yeah,
around
for sure,
that, because they are a vulnerable species,
for sure,
in that sense, as well as us, but also teaching them the different ways that they're vulnerable, whether it's with their emotions,
yeah,
with their trauma, or the things that they're exposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah.
When you asked that original question around what comes up for us, I immediately, initially what comes up for me is like outrage.
Yeah.
Maybe even a bit of jealousy.
Yeah.
Around, or envy around the fact that, you know, you have the stage to show up
to,
in that way. And
yeah,
I think that perhaps because I am not, I'm kind of similar to you and like being more quiet and reserved when, mm-hmm, I am feeling vulnerable.
Yeah.
I think if I were to display some of the other things that my counterparts would, like, I'd be in jeopardy of losing my job.
Exactly. Like, something, yeah, happened to me when I was working. I was a case manager in D.C. And I would never forget it because, like, my clinical supervisor had to pull me up. And I was still in school. I went to a client's house, and it was a male client. They were talking, you know, they struggle with mental health and, mm-hmm, things like that. And usually as a case manager, you go in, you see how the house is, you see if they're keeping up with their medication and so forth and so,
mm-hmm,
on. And at that moment, he was having an episode. He was never kind of, like, attack me. I've always felt safe.
Yeah.
Like an issue. And I go into the apartment. I'm about to leave. I'm like, okay, well, you know, we got to sit down and talk about like your medication. And I remember this like blatantly. And all of a sudden, it's like a switch happened and like he cornered me.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I've not talked about this in a long time. But he cornered me. And then in that moment, I don't know if it's like flight or flee. And he literally was trying to like violate me. And then, you know, I would not say, but you know, think of my brother in law. And my brother like got me ready, and I just happened to have something to kind of like push myself off.
Mm-hmm.
I have pepper spray, man. I ain't gonna lie. So then I was able to leave, and I remember going, and I'm telling the and I had and he locked himself, and he must have felt guilty automatically.
Yeah.
I also called the police for like a wellness check afterwards because I didn't want him to harm himself. And I remember calling my supervisor, and I'm like, oh, you know, I was at such and such place. This is what happened. They kind of attacked me. They've never done that. And I'm worried about them. I call this and da 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 da. She's like, Jay, breathe.
What about you?
She's like, breathe. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was like, but what are we going to do? And da-da-da. She was like, Jay, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
She literally was like, you were just violated. Because he,
yeah,
did, he grabbed my boobs. He pushed me up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And I was just like,
right.
Oh. I said, well, I was able to get out. She's like, breathe.
Yeah.
And in that moment, I didn't notice how, what was happening to,
yeah,
me until she was like, come back to the office. She came back to the office and she was talking to me. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get the words right now. But that was the first time I felt vulnerable. I felt powerless and I was mad at myself because literally I there was an anger,
yeah,
that made me want to attack this person. And I had to remind myself I can't attack this person, mm-hmm, in the way that I wanted to. And they overpowered me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I didn't want to admit to myself that I was
that
powerless,
happened,
or
yeah,
I was weak. And, yeah, then even when she was talking to me, even though there was tears coming down, but it was more like anger.
Anger, yeah.
Like,
that rage, yeah.
Because,
you know,
that's the shield that,
yeah,
we need, that we're all used to pulling whenever,
yeah,
that gushy, small, mm-hmm, weaker, powerless is the word that you use. Yeah. Part of us shows up because that anger makes us feel strong. It makes us feel protected, makes us feel in control, right? And when we're powerless, we're out of control.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, coming face to face with that in a way that is, you know, kind and acknowledges that there, it's not your fault that you were weak.
Yep.
Because that's another thing too, is that when we are vulnerable, we tend to look for blame or place blame on why we were here in the first place, as if it's something that is not a normal place to be. So I think that, like, the fact that your supervisor was able to slow you down enough and acknowledge and sit there with you, right? And just bring it to, like, light of, like, hey, like, this happened, instead of you immediately going into the problem solving, immediately going into, like, the kind of, like, impulsive avoidance that shows up as, you know, as helping professionals, as, you know, people who are Black, you know, minorities, you know, the list goes, you know, on and on and on. So I really appreciate you being vulnerable and opening up.
Yeah.
You know, and bringing
that. It just
that.
Literally came to my mind. I think that's a point in my life where I felt like, damn, this shit really just happened to you. And I remember after leaving her office and I'm driving to my car and I just started crying. And then I remember, even now I'm thinking about it, I think I was thinking like, okay, well, you need to do better at protecting yourself.
Yeah, like things that you wanted to do.
The preparation of like, okay, what needs to be next? Mm-hmm. And then also the idea of, even though he just violated me, also the need to protect him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because he was, yes, I was in D.C. at the time, but he was also, I was looking at him from a vulnerability standpoint. He was a functional Black man struggling with mental health, and me calling the police to protect, how much are we going to
that
protect?
Certainly increases his vulnerabilities.
Me, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was more also focused on his vulnerability and not really looking into mine.
I feel like many people can resonate with that.
Yeah,
that
for sure.
Kind of like feeling that experience of like, I'm in a vulnerable place. Yeah. I'm seeking something or help that will potentially impact someone else, right? Mm-hmm. And that's that thing of like understanding yourself into being like mistreated or even like to be, because repercussions need to happen for everything. This kind of reminds me of, there's so many things in media where women will get attacked or women will get, what's it called, violated, and then want to do that or be reprimanded for saying something about that, right?
Like,
and so I think there's many women, there's many, what's it called, therapists that can very much empathize with you with that space of like feeling for like, dang, I should have done a better job, right? Like in terms of feeling like you needed to somehow know, have insight that this was going to kind of like happen to you.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that people want to normalize and look at when they're vulnerable, is this thing of like, how do I not be here again? Mm-hmm. Being the first thing that you jump to do.
Yeah, how can I avoid this
that
happening again?
Thinking.
I really like that. One thing that it sounds like really helped you on your journey is that you had a supervisor that really saw you.
Yes.
That was able to pause you and say, like, no, this is a human experience for you.
Mrs. Donaldson, she's no longer here, but she definitely was like, she was a gem. She's one of the clinical supervisors you wanted to have on your side.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And I even was mad. She was like, you're not coming into work the next day. I was like, I'm coming into work. I need my hours.
How are you?
She was like, Judalyn, if I see you here, I'm going to have them take your key card. And then I was just like, how's she going to keep me away from work? I was like, is this even legal?
Yeah.
And then she was like, I own this building. I was like, all right, that's fine.
So I think that that kind of brings up some good perspective too, because like obviously us as therapists, we are human beings. And so we naturally experience some vulnerabilities. But how do you all cope with your vulnerabilities as a therapist?
Are we talking about the healthy ways or the unhealthy?
I won't specify, so maybe we can get a little bit of both ends.
Shoot, I can tell you the unhealthy ways.
Yeah.
You know, food is my friend.
I was going to say eating.
Food is my friend. Yeah. So therefore, like, when I'm feeling, you know, just bare and vulnerable, like just bare and open, I think whatever it is that challenged me or make me feel that way, I would either cook, or I would treat myself to, you know, but the treating, when it becomes a problem and unhealthy, just to be clear, is when the treating becomes ongoing for more than a day, 2 days, three days a week, right? So that's the part where I need to like, okay.
Yeah.
What is the issue here? But I think the best thing that I have taught myself, that is still a challenge, I have y'all to remind me, is just to sit, right? I think for me, when I just sit and like allow myself to be in that space,
yeah,
it has really just helped me. And I'm not sitting just like thinking about it, different ways to kind of, I'm just sitting with like, Jay, this is where you're at right now. So you need to be okay with where you're at, and you need to be okay with not being okay with where you're at. Yeah. And this is just where you're at right now.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, this year started with a damn bang, and I was vulnerable as shit. And I think the different things that has happened to me from, like, you know, my best friend losing her mom, which I was close to, you know, me having to have, like, a quick surgery, and me also coming to terms with, like, fertility and things like that. So those are things that I've had to, like, radically accept and also sit with and being okay with that and making space for that.
Yeah.
So to me, sitting has been, like,
your way to cope.
Because otherwise, it's busy masking and...
For sure. I think that we can relate. It's like the more of the unhealthy ways that I have coped with vulnerability is really like throwing myself into work. I think that I have like really done a lot of work with perfecting, or not, I don't want to say perfecting, but definitely like building my craft as a therapist, like getting into more things that are of value to me that are in the therapy space. And that's something that I feel validated in. I feel good at that. So when I am feeling vulnerable, I find that I could really dig more and more into work, like almost in a way where I'm not giving myself any type of recovery time. I might be neglecting the relationships that I have with other people, or like being completely detached from my real world, and having to learn that is obviously an unhealthy way to cope, because I'm using other people's stuff to avoid my own stuff. Yeah, so like having to really check in with myself when I notice that my schedule is looking a little crazy, or like I'm, you're not having breaks, you got a bunch of people in a row, that's my cue to be like, okay girl, what's going on?
Right.
Checking in, like, what's happening? What are your vulnerabilities right now? Yeah, like just trying to check in more. And also I have become better at leaning into my community, obviously leaning into you guys.
We are proud of you.
With my vulnerabilities and being willing to talk to y'all about it, so I'm not just like...
We're proud of you.
Yeah.
So in true fashion, I'm different. So for me, one of the things, I don't delve further into work. I actually like recoil in the other direction. I will, you know, I'm a therapist, and so I will find myself not doing notes, you know, being super okay with clients maybe canceling, right?
Excited, you know? Almost.
Just finding myself just kind of avoiding, you know, day-to-day tasks, things that, you know, I know that seem to take a little bit more effort and I just don't have it in the tank. That's a kind of sure sign that like, okay, things are not where they're supposed to be. So it's me, you know, avoiding responsibilities, not seeing my friends. I'm an extroverted person, not seeing the people that I care about. And I won't even notice it. They will.
We know when she
becomes a hermit
crab. You know.
Knock.
I have a story.
Real ass was that.
We know.
One of my friends, Loki, pulled up on me one time. I've been calling you, and I was like, you have? It didn't even register. So, like, that's one of the things, is, like, just not engaging in things that I enjoy, like, doing for long periods of time. Staying inside my apartment and not like seeing outside, breathing outside air is usually.
I don't think you overthink when you're vulnerable.
I mean, I'm an intellectualizer for those therapists and non-therapists out there. You guys know what that's about. Like, I've just learned to always think about things through a certain lens, right? And so I think that definitely when I am vulnerable. I could probably intellectualize more or intellectualize my life through my vulnerability or like a belief that I have about myself that tends to show up pretty hard, intense when I'm like not in the best place. So like that's one of the things I will also spend. Just like spending on things like
I'm trying to get that that instant gratification.
I don't even care. It'll mostly be on food.
Yeah.
But sometimes it'll be like random spurts of like clothes or just like activities and things like just like not really care or being really generous about like sure, like I'll pay for this and do this. But a way that I've really like tried to work on being vulnerable is like really maintaining the things that I know make me feel good, like or will replenish and rejuvenate from like, you know, our hydration little comment that I made last episode is that like going to the gym consistently, like getting like those steps in movement is really, really big for me. If it's dancing,
you've been killing it.
Have you really seen? You have been.
You know, so like really sticking to, like you said, those values and things like that, and like being able to like again, honor the fact that I'm tired and I need rest, and at the same time, finding ways to plug back in because I know that that will fill my spirit up.
Yeah.
Even though maybe like my energy might take a
hit. Be lower. Yeah, yeah.
So we keep saying vulnerable, right?
Yeah.
Can we like talk to the people real quick and kind of let them know like what are some things that would make someone vulnerable?
I think that is a great question. I think that we kind of already touched on some vulnerabilities within like gender.
Right.
I think that like sexuality and sexual expression can also put you in a vulnerable space. Like whether that like is your sexual orientation or like just the way that you physically present. I think for myself as a queer person, it's definitely been like a huge vulnerability for me is how not only how I want to be in touch with my sexual orientation, but also like how I express myself, like not wanting to be dressing or perceived as like too like super hyper feminine or like presenting in a way that is of the male gaze. Part of that is because I had lived a lot of my life presenting in that way. So it's like huge vulnerability for me now to kind of show up and maybe not do that as much or kind of have like multiple different like a more like, fluid style that being something that kind of makes me vulnerable for sure.
And I think it comes with embracing a place that you were before, right? I think also a lot of the times that make it hard for us to be able to mend all our different parts is us like really judging and really like I don't know, like what's the word I'm looking for? This happens to me often, sorry guys, get used to it. But like, okay, so it's like definitely judging and evaluating and really being down on ourselves for like having a moment where we weren't perfect, where we did not make the right decision, or all this I think about it is like a moment of change, or excuse me, a moment of learning, growth. Because like if you did not go through that experience, live that life, play that role, you wouldn't know this thing about yourself, right? Like you wouldn't be able to recognize that like, oh, this is my true self because I played that role.
Right.
You know? So I think that when you say like what makes us vulnerable, I think it's things that are against the norm. Like that's what it like that's
being different than what you're expected to be.
If everybody else is happy and you're sad, that's different from the norm. That's going to be an issue. If everyone is sad and you're happy, that's going to be something. Because how often we are in a good space, but everybody in our workspace or everyone in our family has a different vibe and they're looking at you like, why are you like this and not like the rest of us? That makes you vulnerable because you're outside of the norm.
Yeah.
So what makes you vulnerable? Anything that's different than what other people think is acceptable, normal, or just like what everybody else is doing. So when I think about myself or even think about like the question that was asked is what are things that make you vulnerable? I think like events change. Like makes you vulnerable, breakups. I know for me, one of the hugest, like biggest depressive episodes that I often go through usually come at the tail end of a breakup. Like it often is when I have my most negative thoughts, my like the energy is the most depleted is during those times. So like any like change things or like financial instability is a huge one for me, because again, we've talked about like that chip that you have on your shoulder of wanting and needing to succeed because your parents did so much to get you there. So like the, or even coming from my upbringing, like I said, that tension came with financial instability. So anything that like brings me back to that vibe, even a little bit, like will muster all these things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh wait, like, do I have all of my stuff? Like, is anyone trying to take my stuff? Like that whole thing.
Yeah.
So, no, that's definitely a good one. And also, like, vulnerability can also be something you keep hidden from the public.
Yeah.
That can make you vulnerable. Something that you yourself, it could be part something that you feel shameful that goes against your own character.
Yes.
That you feel like only people knew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So things like that, you know, are things that kind of like make you feel vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had it in the cards to talk about depression and how it shows up in us this episode. So,
yeah.
Do we want to start touching on that?
We can start a bit.
Yeah. About the depression. You,
like, I want us to define depression a little bit more. So, okay. Like, how would you define what depression is and what that may look like for, like, particularly people of color?
Honestly, one of the best definitions I got was from my own therapist. Yes, therapists need therapy.
Period. Yep, shout out to mine.
Yeah, me too.
So, she would say it's a collapse of the system. And I think that was so...
That's good because when you think about like when you depress, right,
it means to kind of like go in, to fall, to collapse, right? So depression is pretty much the experience of collapse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's a way that I would say it is when you just feel, you know, depleted, when you feel disconnected, when feelings of worthlessness, hopelessness, just not being able to get started.
Yeah, I wanted to like kind of take the time to kind of also be mindful and also like when we talked about, you know, the way you talked about, but also if I'm constantly feeling irritated, frustrated, if I'm angry, like you heard me talk about before, when I'm feeling vulnerable, I isolate.
Yeah.
Meaning like what you said also, you isolate in your own episodes, and like for us, that's how it shows up. So no, we're not crying or we're not brushing our teeth. No, we're still taking care of ourselves. It's, you have to pay attention to what we're saying and what we're not saying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's how I believe like depression kind of shows up in us. Mm-hmm. So for me, when I dive straight into my work full throttle, you know, I am high functioning in my depression.
Yeah.
Is what I tell Black people.
Same. Like,
we high, when we come to depression, we are high functioning depressed people.
I mean, because it's part of our, I mean, it is part of our genetics, because of that generational trauma, right? A lot of our, I mean, a lot of our ancestors felt helpless, felt hopeless, and were taught to feel worthless as well too. So being able to push past those things, like you said, shows up in other ways, like in anger and in irritability, but also in chronic pain.
Yes.
Did anyone notice an increase in back pain, knee pain,
back
ankle
hurt, stomach
pain,
hurt.
All of these other things, because we push, 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 that we then don't listen to the body.
It hurts, right? All of that. So I definitely think there's more to say about depression. And so I think that we should certainly pick that back up our next episode.
I think we should. And then if you're saying you're sad, you could own the word depression. I want to tell people to own the word. Because I hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm just sad. I had a little moment of sadness.
Or I'm feeling off today. Like,
no, I'm
call it what it is.
Call it what it is. I'm depressed.
Yeah.
And then, mind you, I'm on the flip side. I feel like sometimes there's certain folks who overuse the term depression. And it actually is just, you know, it is sadness. Because there is a difference between being depressed, like your system is collapsed.
Yep.
And then there's a difference between your system is experiencing what's called a shutdown, I'm sure there's another synonym for that, but I can't.
Yeah, I do think too, like, I try to also think about like the, the idea that like depression is also an emotion just like the rest of them, and yeah. there are certainly appropriate times where we should feel depression,
yeah.
like around grief, around yes. loss, breakups, and also just around some of the changes. Things that might be going on in the world. Like yes. we live in a very like a society where it is appropriate. It is toxic. And it's appropriate for us to feel
yeah.
that way.
Exactly. Yeah. And what you expose to, whether directly or indirectly, yeah. does affect you.
So, yeah. So try not to shy you. Away from the idea that, like, I yeah. shouldn't feel depressed. Like, no, you absolutely should experience some depression at some point.
Exactly.
And you can cope with that as well in healthy ways.
It's also
ways.
A wave. It's a wave. It doesn't stay.
Yeah.
It's going to come and go. So that's why we should embrace it more.
Yeah.
So with that being said, guys, what do you think that we should commit to in relation to the talk that we had today around yeah. vulnerability and even the topic of depression that we started to sample?
I think for me, my commitment is probably going to be this similar, almost the same each week around really checking in and listening to myself. Like yeah. checking in, listening to myself. Being skillful, I think that having skills and actually using them is one of the most helpful ways to cope yeah. with things that inevitably come, and yeah. just not denying myself those emotions when they do come up.
Good one.
And for me, what I'm going to commit to is to be really kind of like giving myself grace. I think that was the word that you used last episode
yes.
related to like moments of vulnerability, right? Because my initial reaction is to step it back, put it back yep. on the shelf, do something else.
We'll have time for that.
Right? So I think one of the things that I really want to commit to is just being way more open to those moments of vulnerability and acknowledging them and being yeah. kind to myself. Mm-hmm.
Kindness.
Mm-hmm. I think for me, exposure, because we talk about owning and claiming, and I think for me, exposing myself to sitting down,
yeah,
sitting
rest
down, yes. So I'm committed to, like, I think what my accident has taught me is the importance of me, like, sitting down. So as it relates to being vulnerable, because I was definitely vulnerable, and Jesus forced me to sit, y'all. I sat.
So, not doing too much.
And I was doing too much. And I think what you tapped into earlier in terms of, like, I notice when I'm in that most part where I'm tapping to my emotions is by sitting.
Yeah.
So also owning the part, like, okay, sitting and exposing myself to my experiences.
Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. Well, we will see you next time. I am Sparkle Ty.
Stephanie.
And Jay. You know it. Be one. All right, guys. Bye. Bye.